to ask you to think today. We're going to think of a little bit and talk about patriots, patriotism, patriots, and along that line, and 4th of July coming, I thought it would be good this morning for us to say our pledges and sing the national anthem. Now, I sprung this on Alicia just before we started. She's never played the national anthem, so this will be a first experience for her. Let's pledge allegiance to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with life and for all. And to the Christian flag, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And to the Bible, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. And if you need the words of 436. I'd like to think about some patriots today. When you think of patriots as far as our nation is concerned, what are some of the names that come to mind? George Washington. Patrick Henry. Paul Revere. And Thomas Jefferson. John and John. One more John that I'm going to mention. Yeah, John Adams, John Hancock. Samuel Adams. Ethan Hallen. John Paul Jones. What do these have in common? Why do we know their names? They were strong for America. Webster's definition of a patriot is a person who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests. So yeah, we have some famous patriots, obviously, that for as far as America's concerned. Can anyone come up with who said this? I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. He may have quoted that. Nathan Hale, September 22nd, 1776. How about, I have not yet begun to fight. That was John Paul Jones, the first captain of the first American sailing vessel to or war vessel to be saluted by a foreign nation. And that was as he was in a battle with a British ship in British waters and actually caused that ship to surrender. And so even though he lost his own ship in the process several weeks later, he won that battle, which was a vast psychological victory against the British. And that took place on September 3rd of 1779. How about, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, in his address to the Virginia Convention on March 23rd of 1775. And, of course, there's others. The faith of these men and their belief in God and their I think, desire to see a nation that would be free for worship and free to worship God. It was a great part of their life. One who defends his countries. One who zealously stands for it. When we think of biblical patriots, especially when it comes to the nation of Israel, can you think of some? He said Christ is a biblical patriot. He's a patriot for us. Gave himself in our place. The nation of Israel. Moses? Absolutely. Israel hadn't been established yet, but he was the first. I'm sorry?
David.
He's the one that I chose, the first one that I chose. And I think we can look in 1 Samuel and see a bit of his. In fact, 1 Samuel 17, we see his patriotism. And we see that in the midst of a battle. And who would that battle be with? 1 Samuel 17. Goliath. Again, a patriot is one who defends his country. And here is Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And the Philistines are gathered and in their armies to battle. And they're gathered together at Shoco. And they're standing off with the nation of Israel. And here comes Goliath. And challenging the armies. And so we see Saul and his men gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah in verse 2. And the battle was in array, and the Philistines stood in a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain the other, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 feet 9 inches tall. Quite a guy. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and targets of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing the shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, that ye servants to the Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down unto me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. How many of you guys would go up against 9'9" massive guy that's been trained for war all his years? All of his life he's trained for this. And of course he's quite a guy anyway. But David, a youth, a 16-year-old. Of course he had some experience with his God. Spending time on the sides of the hill and with the shepherd, with the sheep, and having faith in God and a relationship with God and a daily walk with God. And which again was referred to Brother Nixon's sermon a week ago Wednesday downstairs. If you missed a good one on your daily walk and love relationship with God, and how our walk with God gives us the strength to go on day by day and to do that which God would have us to do. But David had such a relationship, and he spent time with God. And many times in our busy lives, we fail to set aside the time that we need for our own strength. But David did that, and he spent time. And so when he comes down in chapter 17, verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" A little bit of incense here that somebody would defy the holy God, the God he worked with, walked with daily, the God whom David loved and the God whom David walked and the God of Israel, God's chosen people. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his oldest, well, let's go down to verse 30, or verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard by which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So here's David saying, "Is there not a cause? Who should defy the armies of Israel? Are you guys not worshiping the same God? Are you not walking with the same God I am? We are God's chosen people. And God will fight for us. Is there not a cause?" David was a patriot with a purpose. In verse 46, we see, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." What was David's purpose? To glorify God. To show to others the power of the God that he served, the God that he walked with, the God that he loved. He wasn't a warrior seeking a big name for himself, out for a big battle, looking for a wonderful situation to prove his prowess. I have known a few guys that like to use visitation, soul winning time, to set up debates, to show their knowledge and their study and how they could intellectually debate others in the area of religion and politics. I think he had a little bit of a wrong motive there. David's motive was to glorify God, to show that there was a God in Israel, that God was a powerful God, and that God cared about his people. How many of us this morning would say that on a daily basis you allow God to show you that he cares about you? Say, "How do I do that?" Well, when you go to Walmart, do you pray for a parking place? It's a little thing. But he's interested. And when I remember to pray for a parking place, I usually get a nice one. When you're working, do you ask God for opportunities? Yesterday I was helping Rob with his car, and he went into the house to call some auto parts places to look for something, and I was back by the garage working on another project, and a neighbor came by and introduced himself and said that this other person and had mentioned that she knows us. Well, he was talking about Rob and Sarah. And I said, well, what's her name? He said, Alicia. But it wasn't Alicia Cook. It was Alicia Corbin. He didn't know her last name, but he described her and where she lived and stuff. And I didn't know where the Corbins were living. And so I didn't identify the person. But there I was, brazing away on a piece of Rob's car. And here comes somebody out of nowhere and said, hi, how are you doing? So I turned off the torch and talked to him a few minutes. And I said, you brought up the subject of church. Where do you go to church? He said, St. Mary's. And so I asked him the question and started to witness to him there. And he was very very seriously listening. And sensitive Krista, I didn't have my New Testament. I didn't have a tract in my pocket. I was there working on Rob's car. And she grabbed the tract and brought it out to me to give to him. And while he did not accept Christ, he accepted the message, and he said he'd think about it, and I'll be following up with that. But do you have a purpose? You know, are you a patriot for the kingdom of God with a purpose? David's purpose was to glorify God and show God to all that God was a powerful God and interested. And such patriotism for the kingdom of God. Another patriot. Turn to Esther, chapter 4, verse 10. Now, Esther it's not recorded that Esther had a prior experience with God like David did. I mean, after all, David was the shepherd on the side of the hillside and had the opportunity of slaying a lion and a bear in battle. Spent his time out there practicing with a slingshot, and God used that in the battle with Goliath. But Esther, on the other hand, was a very different situation. In those days, for some reason, women didn't go to war. And not necessarily expected to make great sacrifices. But in this case, Esther was in a situation and in a position, and God allowed her to be in a position to be a very influential patriot. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 10, Esther again spake to Hattai and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in his inner court, who is not called, there is one law for him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. And I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Such a time as this. How many times and how many situations that we come into can be viewed of as of a situation like this, such a time as this, where each of us go and what we do in our lives, God has appointed us to influence the world for Christ. And so the question comes, do we take every situation at such a time as this? To take advantage of the opportunity to say a word of encouragement or a word of testimony or a witness or a challenge to someone we're speaking with for whatever time it is in their life and in your life. Now, Esther was raised a Jew, and situation came, and you know the story of the feast and the former queen and her being put to death. And so the king wasn't known not to put his own queen to death. So Esther said, what's my life for such a time as this? And chapter 7, again, the plan. Esther says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther the queen. Now, let's see, I missed a portion. Chapter 5. Esther's saying, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put her royal apparel on and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And so it was that when the king saw Esther the standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee even to half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him. And the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet and that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition, my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. And so it goes. And the favor came. And chapter 7 in verses 1 through 9. And so king and Haman came to the banquet to Esther the queen, and the king said unto Esther the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and for bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst perform this heart to his heart to do so, presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is the wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Now we know the story. And Haman that ended up hanging from the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And we see that Esther, the queen, was totally at the queen, king's disposal. She had not proven the power of God as David had, but she laid her life on the line for her people. Her one request was that the people fast and pray as she fasted and prayed. Faith in God to stand in the gap, so to speak, to be the watchman for the children of Israel that day, for the Jews who were condemned to death. Situations today in our free country don't lend themselves to such a need for courage, it seems. But so many times we allow fear, or the fear of someone's response, to stand between us and what we know we should be doing as far as bringing the gospel, as far as being that one that proclaims that there is one true and living God. A patriot is one who supports and defends his nation. Where is your citizenship today? Yes, we are citizens of the United States. I think most of us are. But our citizenship, so Paul says, should be where? In heaven. And we should be patriots as well. Another patriot I think of is, from a biblical standpoint and from Israel, is Nehemiah. And if we go to Nehemiah and see a little bit of his character and a little bit of what he did, of course you know, probably know his story and know the things that he did. So we get to Nehemiah chapter 1. And the entire story is long, obviously, but the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan, the palace, and Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy of them that love him and deserve his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I prayed before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn to me, unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And then we see him as he goes before the king, and his countenance is changed because of the destruction and the oppression of the Jews in Israel. And he prayed night and day. He prayed for forgiveness of sin. He prayed for restoration. He asked for God's mercy. And how we should be doing such for our own nation. In the post-Christian era of the United States, and the fact that many states have already ratified the blasphemy of God's creation in their law. And so it's become the law of the land that evil is good. And should we not pray like Nehemiah prayed for our nation? God used Nehemiah to rebuild and restructure and bring honor again in the land of Israel. But Nehemiah was a patriot of zeal, and his love for Israel was great enough for the bad news to visibly affect him. And he interceded to God on behalf of the nation. And how many times we should also intercede to God on behalf of our nation. George Washington was mentioned among the patriots when I ask you about patriots. May I read a prayer of his at age 20. Almighty God, most merciful Father, since thou art a God of pure eyes and wilt be sanctified in all who draw near unto thee, who dost not regard the sacrifice of fools, nor hear sinners to tread in thy courts, pardon, I beseech thee, my sins. Remove them from thy presence, as far as the east is from the west, and accept me for the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ. That when I come into thy temple and compass thine altar, my prayer may come before thee as incense. And as thou wouldest hear me calling upon thee in my prayers, and give me grace to hear thee calling me in thy word. As thou wouldst hear me calling upon thee in my prayers, and give me grace to hear thee call upon me in thy word. Does that tell you about George Washington and his walk with God? He spends time daily in God's word. That it may be wisdom, righteousness, reconciliation, and peace to the saving of my soul in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that I may hear it with reverence, receive it with meekness, mingle it with faith, and that it may accomplish in me, gracious God, the good work for which thou hast sent it. Bless my family, kindred, friends, and country. Be our God be our God and guide this day and forever. For his sake, who lay down in the grave and rose up again for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Washington obviously kept his prayer life and his walk with God alive when much later at Valley Forge he prayed, Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the heads of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and to entertain a brother affection and love one for another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and with a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can ever hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That great patriot obviously had a walk with God on a daily basis. And we have been blessed in our history to have many presidents that did the same. Daniel Webster said, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. And so I ask today, are we good Christians? And therefore, are we good citizens? You and I can do the same thing as these people that we've talked about today. Be patriots for our United States, but be patriots for our kingdom. Ushers, go ahead and come, take the offering. And God challenged Israel in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Anybody want to quote it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If my people Who are his people? All those who have received Jesus Christ. So that would, I hope, include everyone in this room. I don't see any visitors, but... So the formula is to humble themselves, and we see the example of just that in Nehemiah's life, in Esther's life, in David's life, in George Washington's life. A life of humility, a life of walk and daily walk with God, spending time in prayer and supplication to Him and for others, spending time in His Word to hear from Him a message to our own soul. Humble themselves. Humility versus pride, a battle that goes on daily within us. Humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. Can we be a George Washington? Can you be a Nathaniel Hale, a David? Can you be an Esther? Can you be a Nehemiah and go before God on behalf of this nation and stand and do what's right in our own life and stand up and do what's right in our community and stand and do right for our nation? Because we need to make a difference today. Our nation is going down the wrong path very rapidly. And we are the ones that need to make the difference. To turn this nation around. To make it once again, hopefully, in some way, a nation under God. There's only one way we can do that. And that's one person at a time. Our neighbor on this side, our neighbor on that side, the person across the, we meet in the aisle at the grocery store, the person at the next desk at work. One person at a time is the way that the liberals and those against our principles have worked. One battle at a time. We need to battle the same way to see our nation go forward for our children and for our grandchildren. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word and its examples to us and the history of our own nation and the examples of the patriots that we have had lead this nation when it was blessed of you. Father, we pray for America. Pray, Lord, that we may influence here in Adrian and Illinois County and others would influence in their area and be faithful and come to you in supplication and prayer and be a testimony and have our walk with you on a daily basis on a personal level. Lord, that we would be the influence for right and for good that you would have us to be in this nation. Father, that America as a nation would realize where we're going and what's happening and Lord, return to you. Father, we as a nation are standing at the brink of a defiled and sinful nation. Lord, forgive our sin. Empower us to be a David, a Nehemiah, an Esther, a George Washington. In our day and in our place. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and his power. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And may we exercise that in our walk with you and our testimony to others. And we give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.